Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Anime Chateau Podcast. My name is TJ, also known as Screens, and my goal is to spread the love of anime across the globe. Before we get started, I also run a Facebook page, Anime Chateau, where people can share their love for anime or talk about any other fandoms that they may have, whether it's video games or the MCU. Before we get started, you guys all know that I've been kind of pushing, trying to get some views. I wanted to do a giveaway if we hit 250. And we not only hit 250, but we surpassed it a good little bit. We are currently sitting at 266 views. And I'm ecstatic about this. When I started this, I did it for fun. I'm still doing it for fun. The views aren't really that important to me, but it's also nice to see, to kind of feel a sense of accomplishment, I guess. But I never even expected to have 100 plays, more or less 250. So thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart. Please continue listening. I'll probably do another giveaway, probably at like, I don't know, 500, or I don't know, if things start going slow, I'll probably do one just to try to pick things up again. Joining me today, I have Jacob, who is ironically the winner of our giveaway. It just kind of lined out that he was our guest on tonight's episode.
Hey, thanks for having me again. I'm real happy to win that giveaway. It's pretty ecstatic to see what's going to come out of that.
Yeah, he doesn't know what it is yet. I didn't tell him. I just kind of asked him about some of his animes, even though I kind of had a rough idea of what he was going to pick anyway, just because he's been on previous episodes. And I got to look in, and I found something that was coming out sometime next month, and I pre-ordered it for him. So hopefully he likes what he gets. If not, oh well. Also joining me this week is Brandon.
Hey, glad to be back.
Yeah. But yeah, make sure you guys follow my Facebook page, Anime Chateau. Send any emails to animechateau@gmail.com. If you have any questions, suggestions, if you have any ideas that could help me make the podcast better, give me your opinions on the music that I am now adding into the show. Anything like that, any shows you want to recommend to me, or even just questions you want me to answer on air, just please shoot me an email. Maybe we can address it in the next podcast. I also have some business cards that I've been handing out. If anybody wants me to give them some, they could pass out to people. It would be awesome. Help spread the love. I spent a little bit of money on them too, so it'd be nice to get to, you know, see them get put to good use. Or if you live out of state, shoot me your address and I'll mail you them. I won't charge anything, obviously, because it's for me. That would be great. So, we don't have really any anime news. Really it was kind of Jake's idea for me to mention the Crunchyroll Expo. They usually have a Comic-Con every year. And, of course, COVID-19 is ruining everything this year. So it got canceled this year. It is actually going on. They're doing a virtual con right now. It actually started yesterday on the 4th and will be ending on the 6th. So hopefully you guys got to check that out. But that's really all I have this week. We had a lot like the past couple weeks, really. So not really too much to report on. Jake and Brandon have both been on the podcast before. So I'm going to kind of skip right over the guest questionnaire because you already know what they like. And we're going to hop right into our rotating subject this week. We're doing another elemental subject. I've got a couple more of these in my back pocket just because there's so many different common abilities used in shows. I planned on breaking it up a little bit. I had a good idea for another episode. Couldn't find a good guest that would fit. But I've got one now, so we're going to end up doing this one on our next episode. So this week we're doing electric users, and then in the next episode we're going to be talking about some fan theories for My Hero Academia, and Brandon, who is in this episode, will also be in the next episode as well. So we're going to talk about our favorite electric users. I'll go ahead and start it off like usual. My favorite electric user is Luck Voltia from Black Clover. And he is a powerful electric user, but that's not the reason I like him. I like him for the reason that everybody else in the show hates him. His nickname is the Cheerful Berserker, and it's because, much like Goku or any other main protagonist of the show, he loves to fight. He lives for finding a stronger opponent. But he has this weird mental issue where he's always smiling. He's always happy. He's never sad, which is one of the things I love about him. Because he's never sad, but he also looks crazy when he's fighting somebody and he's grinning ear to ear. It's awesome. But he has like a... He doesn't traditionally throw like electric bolts or anything like most magic electric users you would think would do, but he has electricity like run up his arms and his legs like boots and a sleeve, and it makes him, you know, run faster and punch harder, etc., etc. But I really just like him just because of the whole like crazed vibe that he gives off. But that's who I picked as my favorite. Jake, do you want to take over and talk about yours?
Yeah, so my choice was Killua Zoltik from Hunter x Hunter, which happens to be my favorite anime as of right now. I chose him more so because of, I guess, the powerful aspect that he gets from his electricity powers, even though he's an absolute monster before that, coming from the Zoltik family and the long history of assassins that come from that and all the things that he had to endure for that. But what I really liked about his aspect is that, and similar in the sense of One Punch Man, which I'll link back to here in a second, is that his past linked into his Nin ability getting utilized into, I guess, what it is, the big lightning powers that he has right there that makes me like incredibly fast, extremely powerful, all that stuff like that, where he's literally just like a human lightning bolt. And it's because in the past they, to, you know, his assassination training and all that stuff like that, he went through torture, and part of that was electricity based, which I really like the idea that they incorporated that, or that he thought of that, you know, he thought of that and incorporated that into his Nin ability, since he's I lost the word, but transmuted.
So they tortured him with his elemental ability?
Yeah, so they tortured him with a lot of different stuff to get him kind of used to that used to those situations, so he wouldn't really necessarily fear death in any sense or at any point in time.
So it was like a part of like training him?
Yeah, it was a part just of like, training okay. him, but he took a real affinity to the electricity ordeal, which is why when they were going through and they were trying to figure him and Gon were going through and trying to figure out, you know, exactly what kind of Nin abilities they were working with and what they wanted to utilize for that, he really took the idea of the electricity from his past and he incorporated that into himself and literally became a living lightning bolt, more or less.
That's awesome.
Which is fantastic to watch. Yeah. Is I was so hyped watching that fight go down.
No spoilers, but that one fight.
Oh yeah, dude.
If you've watched it, you know.
if you know.
I started Hunter x Hunter back when I was like before I started watching subtitles back in the dub days, and I at the time I was borrowing the DVDs from a friend, and he only had like the first two or three seasons. I can't remember exactly where I fell off, but Killua was probably the character in that show that I was the most interested in. I really liked the whole like how he was kind of dark, and he had like, of course I love electricity, it's probably my favorite elemental ability in general, really.
Yeah,
so he intrigued me a lot.
It's been so long since I watched that show, but one of my favorite parts that I do remember is, so they're in the middle of taking that exam, right? Mm-hmm. And Killua just kind of goes off to the side and sees all these people lining up to take this hunter exam. So he joins, right? And there's like 500 people and this guy's got to lower it down. So he says, the only way to get in here to even take the exam is you have to take someone else's badge. You can't get in the door unless you get two people's badges. So
that.
500 participants, right? Killua just pops in real quick. 5 minutes. He takes every single person's badge, right? And the only reason why it took him 5 minutes is because every time he downed somebody, he would apologize. And he saw somebody he recognized in the middle of it. So he's like, he stops in the middle of his tirade of assassination skills. And he's all like, oh, hey, I know you. sorry about this. Bam! And he just knocks him out real quick. And and he's the only one that passed, and they don't even make him take the exam. He just gets in right away. Because, you know, if there's no participants, how is he going to take the exam and pair against other people? It was just such a laid-back, like, silly moment, but it really showed what Kiowa was...
How badass he is.
Yeah. And that one time where he pulls that dude's heart out and then hands it back to him while it's still beating inside the bag. I mean, Kiowa by far is my favorite character on that show. Now, Gon has a lot of defining moments, but I think Jake's hitting the, you know, the nail on the head with this one.
Yeah, Kiowa, man, he just knocks it out of the park. He is... It is hand in hand with him and Hisoka for my favorite person in Hunter x Hunter, just because of how Hisoka's mind works. It's just unbelievable. But Killua has just crazy depth. It's amazing, and I think it's so great in comparison to Gon, because I think Gon is the worst character in Hunter x Hunter. I absolutely do not like him. I mean, he's lighthearted and he's playful and all that, which is great, you know. But outside of that, I'm not a fan of him. So having him and Killua, you know, hand in hand, really, really kept it up for me.
You could almost compare it to Naruto and Sasuke. How Sasuke is the cooler character who.
When he was talking about Gon being like lighthearted, that's literally what I was thinking of. Was Naruto and Sasuke.
And a lot of people watch Naruto simply for like the Sasuke moments, you know. Or you could even say, you know, Kiowa, if you've seen One Piece, Zoro, a lot of people question whether or not Zoro is actually the strongest member of the pirate crew. And while Gon did have that defining moment towards the end of the anime where he was probably one of the strongest people on the planet, and I'm not going to spoil anything if you haven't seen it, you know, Kiowa, I think most of the time outperforms Gon to a large extent, and the only reason why Gon even stands a chance is because he's got that thick plot armor, you know. He's the main character, so they don't want him to you know, get shown up a lot. Right.
I feel like outside of that one instance that you brought up, which has an extreme amount of negative impact on him, it's killer all the way.
Extreme is an understatement. The man the man's in rough shape afterwards.
All
right. Brandon, who did you choose for your electric user this week?
So I had two, but it came down to this one. I love One Piece, and I'm always going to probably bring it up every time I'm in this podcast. But I actually went with Enel. And he's known as the God of Lightning, which we meet in the Sky Pia arc. And the reason why I chose him is because he basically embodies lightning. Before I get onto his abilities, just to put it into perspective, so Oda's the creator, right? He's the writer of the manga.
Yeah.
It was stated by Oda in an interview, if Enel had made it into the Blue Sea, which is crossing the Grand Line, big deal in the show. That's basically where the show really hits its mark. He's being compared to Ace. It took Luffy hundreds of episodes to reach a 500 million bounty, and Oda basically said that if he had even made it into the Grand Line, he would already have a 500 million bounty, which is basically comparing him to Ace, who is one of the most popular characters in the show, a high-ranking member of the Whitebeard Pirates, who were, at the time, for the first 500 episodes, the strongest pirate crew on the planet, you know? So this goes to show with some time and work, Enel could have easily matched, if not surpassed, Ace's potential. And Aishel was a very iconic character for a long time. And that specific moment in the Marineford arc really defined who he was. And he caused a lot of character development for Luffy. So Ace is a big deal. So comparing somebody to Ace, even though he kind of, we're just going to say disappeared. You know, he's no longer with us. I think Enel's a pretty big deal. So Enel was introduced early, just first couple hundred episodes. He was the first person to combine haki with his devil fruit power, which was the beginning of a major trend that, you know, is highlighted and revered in One Piece highly. He is the owner of a Logia type, which is the most powerful.
Let me interrupt real quick. So is haki, is that like their mana or whatever?
So there's different forms of hockey. You've got observation, which at a high level allows you to predict the future to an extent, basically being able to read your opponent, but it actually goes a step further. Now granted, One Piece admittedly doesn't follow logic to a T. You know, if science were to get involved, if Dr. Stone came in, he would be able to debunk almost everything that happens, you know. But going off of One Piece logic, so armament hockey, which is the ability to basically harden a part of your body, and this hockey is a big deal because there's different forms of it, but hockey allows you to hurt a Logia type user. The Logia type users,
is that what Luffy does when he does his gear?
He does it in gear 4, yeah.
Okay.
He does it in multiple gears, but gear 4
or whatever.
Yeah, that's his big one. What was I? Oh, so Logia users, their body basically becomes, it embodies the fruit itself. So you've got the lightning user. His body, even though he has a solid body, he can turn into lightning. He literally is lightning, and at any point in time do that. Huh?
You said he has a solid body. I said no homo.
I mean, if you've seen him, I'm not wrong.
I actually have a picture of him pulled up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they draw his nipples on, so he's got something going on.
Yeah, he's got nipples. Everybody likes nipples.
Just another example, one of the other Logia type users is
you still there?
I cannot.
Oh, okay. You cut out for a minute.
Oh. I said to compare it, just to compare it to another Logia type user, one of the first division captain for the Whitebeard Pirates. I cannot remember his name, but he basically has a devil fruit. And he can make his body blue flames, right? So he's basically got some kind of phoenix ability. So when he does take damage, his flames heal him, and he can be reborn. So Logia always has this insane ability that outmatches every other one, unlike the Paramecia and the basically the animal-based devil fruits. So he's already on top. You know, he's already put himself way ahead just by having this fruit. Literally known as the lightning god, he tricked an entire civilization into believing that he is god himself. He's just that powerful, and he has no natural enemies except for one, and I'll get to that in just a second. I'd stated before that he could turn himself into lightning. He can travel at the speed of light, embodying lightning itself, and I think that basically puts him on the top of the lightning list, simply because there's a difference between being able to manipulate lightning and literally being the embodiment of lightning. So I think that he has the most potential as a lightning user compared to maybe another character that I won't mention, who's basically a battery in My Hero Academia, where he's a normal human being with the ability to use lightning, but that's about as far as the spectrum goes with him. And it's like that with a lot of other people. The only downfall he has is meeting the only predator, the only person that can counter him, and unironically, that is Luffy. Luffy is a Paramecia type who's made of rubber. And anybody that has had any kind of science class in elementary or middle school knows that, you know, rubber repels electricity. And because of this, there's a scene where God and L blasts him with this gigantic attack after he's literally owned every single crew member of the Straw Hat Pirates, overwhelming everybody easily. He smacks Luffy with this attack, and Luffy basically says, "That tickles." And the drawing of his face really, I think, really tells the story. I don't have any way to pull it up, but if you want to just look up his reaction, it just, obviously the artwork there entails he's never met someone like this before, so he freaks out a little bit. With that being said, Enel is still smart and was able to overcome this, so being really good with his ability, he lures Luffy in, right? He has a ship made of gold. Skypiea is a city of gold, and that's basically why Enel went up there to take it over. He wanted that gold, so he built an entire gigantic ship, and with the ability to use lightning, it also kind of gives him a heat property. So lightning can melt anything, basically, any kind of metal, with the exception of a few. So he lures Luffy in. He actually melts some of the gold on his ship, which bonds both of Luffy's hands together. So he immobilizes Luffy for a good portion of the end of this arc, right? And Luffy's basically useless, while Enel is just running around, destroying everybody that's up there. And it just kind of shows how smart he is with his ability. And I think that the gimmick in One Piece is you can be as powerful as you want to be as long as you are creative enough with your ability. I mean, if you've had another guest on the show, Adam, who mentioned it, you know, Luffy is incredibly witty and smart with his ability. I mean, he's just rubber. He's just a rubber man. But the things that he's figured out how to do is what makes him stand out. And there's other characters that do the same thing. I mean, there's a guy whose ability is literally mochi. And if you don't know what mochi is, it is basically a pudding derived of rice. You know, it's nothing. It's silly. But this man is super strong because he has the perfect understanding of his ability and he uses it very intelligently in battle. So with that being said, this is why I feel that Enel is on the top of users, because not only does he fully understand his ability, he's literally lightning. And his only downfalls are that the main character is his only true weakness. And because of this, and because of this, he has low durability. He's never really had to take a hit, you know? So it's not like Luffy, who gets beat up all the time and it's just a
rubber
what's the word
bag?
I'm looking for? Yeah, he's a punching bag most of the time, and it's caused him to be extremely durable. Enel hasn't had that luxury. So when he gets hit by Luffy the first couple of times, he's really thrown off guard, and he takes a lot of damage. And that's just how the cookie crumbles. You know, if you don't get into a lot of fights, you're
so
not
going
to
if he didn't come into contact with Luffy, he would have been like the most OP character in the show.
I don't know about OP. I mean, there is a scene where Luffy says that there's lots of guys on the ground that could beat you. And theoretically, that is true. There are a lot of guys that could take him. But that doesn't mean that the guy has to go out of his way to fight these people. He could have been doing stuff in the background, like Eustace Kidd, who is another one of the supernovas, which is basically the new generation pirates that are up and coming, like Luffy and Law, and they're just called the Supernova. So Kid, he does all this stuff in the background, and he's actually one of the bad pirates for the most part. But he's got a bounty almost matching Luffy, and he barely has any screen time. So it could have been one of those where in the background he was just causing a lot of havoc and doing a lot of bad things to be renowned and known across the Grand Blue. But yes, he got cucked by Luffy really early on, and I think that I don't know if it was the best play, because this guy was really strong and there are a lot of people that would have a hard time with him. So Luffy took down somebody whose skill level was way above his, to be honest. It just happened that he was the counter to it.
Yeah, they were just ill-suited for each other. For each other, but for him. I got you.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and hop to the next one, because Brandon talked for like 15 minutes. It's all good, though. So for my next one, I picked, shocker to nobody, I picked Laxus Dreyer from Fairy Tail. For those of you that have not watched Fairy Tail, there's people in the show called Dragon Slayers, i.e. the main character Natsu. And then there's different generations of Dragon Slayer in the show. There's only three generations, but due to my research for this podcast, I found out that there's five in the manga, which is very interesting. We're going to talk, I guess I'll go ahead and just kind of explain the difference between those so I can tell you where Laxus falls on the spectrum. The first generation Dragon Slayers are like Natsu, where they actually learn their Dragon Slaying magic directly from a dragon. So a dragon trained them. Then there's second generation Dragon Slayers, which is where Laxus falls. And that is somebody who has a dragon, what is it called, a Lacrima? The crystals? Basically, it's like a dragon crystal. Dragon's magic implanted into them. And then there's the third generation Dragon Slayers, which is a mixture of the two. They have the dragon Lacrima implanted in them, and then they also learn magic from the dragon as well. Upon my research, because I didn't know about Gen 4 or 5, it doesn't explain what Gen 4 is. Gen 5 is somebody who actually gets their abilities by eating a dragon, which is crazy. To think that somebody would eat a dragon. But anyway, Laxus is a Gen 2, so he has Lacrima in place inside of him. never explains how this occurs or anything in the show. Maybe it does in the manga, I'm not sure. There is, I believe, one other Gen 2 Dragon Slayer, the poison guy, if I'm not mistaken. Laxus is the Grandmaster of Fairy Tail's Guild, the leader of their guild. Laxus is his grandson. And he uses electric magic, of course, like electric dragon slayer magic. And he's super powerful. Like, Natsu is arguably probably the strongest character in the show. And he fights Laxus numerous times throughout the series and loses to him 99.9. I think he beat him one time, the final time they fought. But we're not going to spoil anything. But he's just very, very, very strong. And he kind of plays he walks both sides of the rope, like he's a good guy and a bad guy, which makes his character kind of interesting. And then for a while, he kind of goes to like a quiet nature, like he's there, but he's not really fighting or doing anything. He's just kind of in the background. But I really like the whole light and dark aspect that he brought to the show. It was kind of unheard of. Him and the guy that Urza had a thing for, what was his name?
You're talking about the blue-haired dude.
Yeah, the blue-haired guy with the tattoo.
I'm actually at a loss. Yeah. I wasn't expecting you to bring him up.
Yeah, but I really like the aspect that they brought to the show where they were like dark and good at the same time. It was really interesting. Always makes for a good story. You want to talk about another one of your users, Jacob?
Yeah, so the second person I intended to talk about is Zenitsu. I'd be kind of stealing your thunder a bit on that one.
Okay, go ahead,
in reference to that, huh?
Yeah, go for it.
But yeah, so he's in Demon Slayer. So he's part of the Demon Slayer Corps. And he's a little rough around the edges, to say the least. He's really annoying.
He's a big old crybaby.
Big crybaby. Crybaby about every single thing. Literally,
he's probably like one of the strongest of the three main characters, though. Or four main characters, I guess, if you include the female.
So in the beginning, the writer actually, I can't remember her name, but the chick said that the anime season that's out, he actually is the strongest right now.
Okay, yeah, right now.
But we don't know that because he's only had like three defining moments. Yeah, and they didn't even show them. Yeah, they're all instantaneous. But yeah. I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to spoil it for anybody here or anybody that might watch the anime episodes that come out in the future.
Yeah, and if you haven't watched Demon Slayer, highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Yes.
Like 10 out of 10.
It looks and sounds so good. Like even if you're a little skeptical on maybe the content, which I think is still pretty good, just watch it for the visuals and audio alone. You'll be blown away. But yeah, so Zenitsu, like, normally he's high strung, extremely on edge, very tense. And you can tell just by the way that he acts and, you know, coordinates with other people and the things around him. But what really stood out to me and what really caught my attention, one, I'm a big fan of, like, extreme speed in anime, which is usually coordinated almost directly with lightning due to the fact that lightning is really fast. And so what I thought was interesting is at one point in the anime, he gets to a point where his, I guess we can call it anxiety or tension, gets so high that he actually passes out. And once he passes out is when he is actually powerful, which one, I thought was awesome because it looks absolutely phenomenal when he does it. But two, it really gave me not necessarily an understanding of the individual, but for the longest time, I just absolutely did not like him. I was like, God, why is he in here? He's just annoying the piss out of me. Just like, God dang, I just forgot his name. The main character of Black Clover for the first few episodes was just screaming at the top of his lungs. Yeah, also, I could not stand him either. And he chills out, which it gets a lot easier to handle. And it becomes really good. But yeah, so it gave me I guess, a day and night look at Zenitsu, right? Because when he is so high strung and so high focused on every single aspect, he's so overwhelmed with everything that's going on. But it gets to such a point that his mind just shuts down and his instincts take over. Yeah. And that calmness that he has during that portion allows him to actually bring out what is, you know, holding deep within him, like that natural talent that he has with lightning and everything like that. I mean, he has one specific move that he could do, but he's an absolute master at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought that was a really interesting aspect to him, which is still kind of annoying to deal with him when he's awake, but it gave me a little bit of more understanding of like why he's there, you know, not just as that annoying side filler piece, but a little bit more than that, you know, to the understanding of how people interact with different things. And just because, you know, some people might be super high focused on things doesn't mean that they don't have a natural talent that's sitting inside that they just can't tap into.
Right. It's almost like a Jekyll and Hyde thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's also a little bit of a ladies' man, which I'm sure anybody that
watches little bit?
Any anime.
A little he tries to.
Yeah, he's familiar with the lady man guy of the episode.
Tries.
I like Brock from Pokemon, just for an easy example for people to.
Oh, I'd like to compare him
love,
more.
Yeah, falls in love with every woman he sees. One of those kind of deals.
Who is the monk on Inuyasha? Can you remember that guy's name?
I didn't watch it.
Okay, there's a dude on Inuyasha, and he ends up being one of the tag-alongs in the show.
Master Roshi.
No. This dude's like young, slightly pretty boy, but
yeah.
He every pretty woman he sees, he walks up. And he's like, will you bear my child? I mean, that's literally how he approaches women. And he's always rubbing women's butts and grabbing them and stuff. Now, this dude's not that courageous, you know, but essentially the same. Every woman he sees, he's like, marry me, but in a whiny kid sort of way.
So, yeah.
That's who he reminds
me of. Like a pity Mary type of way.
Yeah.
Marry me because I'm absolutely useless.
I'm lonely, you know. But I do like his. I think he's got an interesting character, interesting character traits. And after seeing that first moment where he just decapitates that demon, who it was just really good. And after that, I actually have interest in the guy now.
Yeah, and I strongly dislike him now, but I definitely obviously recognize that he has very, very strong hidden potential. And I'm very excited to see that become one with his regular personality and become a normal thing.
Yes.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited for the character progression there.
I definitely want to see that more often. So if this dude could chill out, that'd be great.
Brandon, do you have somebody else you wanted to talk about?
I've got two. One somewhat quick mention. So anybody who's watched Seven Deadly Sins knows who Gil Thunder is.
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of the Holy Knights and the son of one of the best Holy Knights. And he's a lightning user. He's more of a sword. He's more of a swordsman first, lightning user second, but they kind of go hand in hand. But I just want to note, I think his character is mentionable because, slight spoilers here, Gil Thunder is basically being held captive, right? So he never agreed to what was going on in the kingdom. Demons basically invaded and were taking over in the background. And Gil Thunder was being held because they had a device on his sister. And basically, if anybody defied, she was going to... basically, one of the other princesses. Or not his sister, but somebody that he's in love with. His love interest. And she's always locked up in the kingdom. And if anybody defied him, basically she was going to die. So for years and years and years, he had to pretend to be a bad guy and put on this persona and do everything that was asked of him, even though he knew it was wrong. And I think that there's not a lot of characters that are put in that position, and he handled it very well. Of course, there's a scene later on where Meliodas basically takes care of that, and right away he was a good guy. You knew he made a huge transition. He never wanted to do all these things, but he's very adept with lightning. I mean, there's a scene in the very beginning where he puts a sword in the ground and he's using his lightning magic on the sword, to seal the water away, which is basically running this city dry. And this is another thing that he didn't want to do, but you know, when you're acting and you're trying to put on a front, you have to make questionable decisions. And he's just a really powerful guy. He's a stand-up guy for doing what he did, and I think that he's worth mentioning. The second one, though, is Sinbad. So this is an OP character in the Labyrinth of Magic Magi series. To put him into perspective, when you go on adventures, you know, a djinn is basically a magical creature, right? And it's like the epitome of power. And most people don't have one. And the people that do have one are really, really powerful characters, right? If you have one, you're a big deal. And one of the strongest characters, this emperor of this gigantic palace city area, has three, okay? And he's revered as like the strongest. Sinbad, who is introduced naked and as a loner and kind of a comedy relief, has seven, okay? Seven. Nobody has nearly that many. This dude is mad OP. I would put him on par with Gilgamesh, if you've ever seen the Fate series, or Kaido in the One Piece series. I mean, this guy's really strong. And one of his djinn is lightning, and he basically controls weather. And there's this scene where he uses this lightning ability, and it basically covers his whole body in these dragon scales. And to show off his power during his backstory arc, he's a big flexer, right? He loves to use his abilities to flex on people and make them feel inferior. He points his sword not at the king who's been antagonizing him the whole time, but at a mountain, and blows the whole mountain away with just one stroke of his sword. So pretty powerful. Not a practical lightning user, more of like a lightning borrower, but his ability knows no bounds. This guy's very strong. And I thought he was worth mentioning because his just mass difference between him and all the other characters. And I think he's the most interesting character in the show. And if you haven't watched any of the Magi series, you should watch it just for him. And all of the flexing he does is hilarious.
Yeah. I watched Sinbad. My only complaint about it was that it was too short and it didn't get any more seasons.
It is short. The manga's really good, but a lot of people don't want to read the manga.
After that show went off, I spent a good amount of research, like trying to figure out if they were going to do another season of it. I was very, very deeply impressed with it. It's also on Netflix if anybody hasn't watched it.
A lot of fanboys, not me so much, but a lot of people who are much bigger followers have been waiting for season 3 for a long time, and I honestly don't think it's ever going to come, unfortunately.
Yeah. I've got one more that I was going to go into depth about, and then just a couple honorable mentions. My next big one is Kaminari from My Hero Academia. Nobody saw that coming, I'm sure. His quirk is called Electrification, and it allows him to generate electricity and cover his body with it, and then emit a short energy surge over a distance. But he's, at first, I've heard some things about his progression in the manga, and apparently he gets like pretty OP later on. I imagine maybe like closer to when he graduates the MHA. But anyway, for right now in the show and in the manga, he's kind of like a comedic character, I guess. So he can't really control his electricity. But the big thing about him is whenever he overuses it, it short circuits his brain and basically makes him stupid. Like he can't even talk. He's just like, no. which is why it's funny. He has the ability to absorb and neutralize electricity. So basically like a lightning rod, kind of like a jumper cable or something. But the cool thing about him is that his ultimate, it's called Indiscriminate Discharge, and he actually releases over 2 million volts of electricity basically like anywhere in his surrounding vicinity and electrocutes anybody. But the only problem with this is he can't really control it, so there's a possibility of him like shocking his friends on accident. So he's kind of useless, I guess, a little bit. But it's still pretty cool, and I really look forward to seeing how his character progresses to the character that I've heard a little bit about. One of the things he does to train, he actually hooks a high power battery up to him so he can like absorb larger amounts of electricity to get his body used to having larger amounts in it. Pretty cool.
My favorite thing about him is when he does his brain gets fried and his, yeah, he does the like trademark all like thing with his thumbs going back and forth. Yeah. Me and Adam, whenever we did something stupid at work, we would look at each other from across the factory and just do that with our thumbs going back and forth. Yeah, he's a funny character. I like him. I hope he has a couple of shining moments in the new seasons of anime.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Jake, did you have any more you wanted to talk about, or Brandon, either one of you?
I'm good.
I had a couple honorable mentions, but nothing to really talk to in length since I haven't seen these shows in quite some time.
Okay. If you want to go ahead and toss out, I've got, I guess, technically three honorable mentions, but two of them are together. We can take turns if you want to. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So the first one I'm going to bring up is Makoto Misaka from...
Railgun.
A certain scientific railgun. I'm not used to saying the English one. I'm used to seeing the Japanese. I can't
pronounce that.
I don't know how to pronounce Japanese.
Yeah, I haven't either. I've actually been seeing this girl. I'm in a couple of Facebook pages for anime. I use them to like promote the podcast, and I've been seeing this girl pop up a lot lately as like a cute character or whatever.
Yeah, I've only seen a few episodes of the anime, but I intend to watch it a little bit more here soon, hopefully. I mean, this week's been a little rough on anime, which we'll touch on later. but yeah, I think she's really interesting with, I guess, the little bit I've seen with her control over electricity and, you know, her getting the nickname Railgun from the fact that she can actually, you know, take a coin and, you know, shoot it off like a railgun.
Oh, that's who you're talking about, from Scientific Railgun. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I gotcha. Yeah, I do actually know who she is. She is a little badass. Her nickname is Bitty Billy, which basically means Zap Zap, or he's basically calling her a lightning bug.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I've seen, she's super cool, and the anime is really interesting. I just ran out of time to watch it when I was watching it, and now I just need to pick it back up.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. I mean, it's really good in the first two seasons, but I didn't really care for the third season because it just turned into fan service and cliches, personally. But it had a good start. Yeah, yeah, no plot, really.
She's very sexualized online.
Yeah. Makes sense. But she does have her run... They have a runoff show with basically just her and her little clones, which if you've seen the show, you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't watched it, but I hear it's much better. That alone is more popular than the other entire series.
Oh,
so
that's
yeah, I'll check that out.
It's called A Scientific Railgun, but I think the other one is like Index, Scientific Index. That's like the main one, which follows the little tiny like blue haired girl, which is, but I won't get into all that.
Yeah,
a little too much.
The honorable mention I have, and it's not because I watched the show, it's because any listeners would murder me if I didn't bring them up. I have Kakashi and Sasuke on here because of their Chidori, or their lightning blade as I call it. Don't have anything to say about it because I don't watch Naruto, but did you have any you would like to mention, Brandon?
Well, I guess I'll just bring them up because it should be painstakingly obvious, but I think one of the most popular electric users in the entire world, hands down, goes to Pikachu from Pokemon. The only reason why I bring this up is because this little tiny mouse...
You don't have the mouse in your hand?
Yeah. <It's>, this little itty-bitty mouse, you know, season one, Brock, this intimidating character who, you know, it seems a little bit foreboding in the beginning. He's always really serious. Right, he sends out this gigantic ground rock type, and you know who else goes out there to fight him? Pikachu. Ash sends out Pikachu at gigantic type disadvantage, and it took a couple tries, but guess who wins?
Well, he cheated like a motherfucker, though.
There are so many times where Ash has these really powerful Pokemon, but Pikachu always cleans it up, always at a type disadvantage. And if you've ever played Pokemon, you know that Pikachu doesn't go very far. Pikachu does not go very far. He's fast, but he's super weak. He's super squishy. So anime Pikachu, god tier. Game Pikachu, you're going to get rid of him within the first two towns. I'm just saying.
For anybody that hasn't watched Pokemon, he beats Brock by setting off the sprinkler system and getting the Onix wet and then shocking it while it's wet. Cheating like a motherfucker.
So, I mean, there's obvious plot there that takes hold of Pikachu. But I will say, you know, even though he's an iconic character, he gets put through a lot. And I think at the end of the day, Pikachu is probably Ash's number one go-to. And it will always be his strongest. This is best friend. And I think that's another thing, too, that the game can incorporate. There's no way to incorporate that on a number basis based on stats. But the friendship between them, it's always friendship. That's what friendship in Fairy Tail, friendship in Dragon Ball, you know, these things, that's a big, huge power up. Digimon. I think Digimon's the best. I mean, friendship is what makes them evolve.
Yeah, it's literally their thing,
So, yes, Pikachu is a very he's worth mentioning, even though it's kind of silly and people probably weren't expecting it. He is the most well-known electric user there is.
Easily. the only other honorable mention I have is Azula from Avatar. She's the princess of the Fire Nation, the daughter of the Fire Lord Ozai. And she's a bad guy, obviously. She's a firebender.
No, she's a bad girl.
Bad girl, whatever. Sorry for mispronouncing her gender. But yeah, she's very, very powerful. In Avatar, they say that like once your fire gets so powerful and so so hot, I guess, it comes out like lightning, and that's kind of where her thing is. But it's really awesome to see, and she definitely had some. She's batshit crazy, I mean, to put it simple. And there was definitely some good moments with her in the show. Does anybody else have anyone they want to talk about?
Yeah, I got one more. Okay. It's actually from Bleach, which is an interesting one for me to bring up, seeing how
I
forgot
Soul Society arc. But
Yoruichi.
Has her lightning abilities. I can't really talk in depth about it. I know about them, and I know that they exist. I know that she can basically encompass herself within lightning and then utilize that as like a physical and defensive type of ordeal. But outside of that, I can't really talk to it in depth.
At one point,
she's an absolute animal to begin with.
At one point, like when I was watching Bleach, I thought she was like the hottest chick in the show. Not when she's a cat, though. In all seriousness.
Oh, I thought we were talking about cat.
No.
Oh.
Oh well. Jeez.
Yeah. Yes, I particular. No, I'm just kidding. So since this is getting furry awkward, lover, gross, yeah, man. Buddy. Hey. No. I'm a big fan of characters that aren't over sexualized, and I think she was one that. I mean, she's. I guess they. I mean, they had the bikini episodes.
I mean, they had that one scene where she was naked in the bath, and like.
But the thing is, they
normalize it. She's not. It's not like where she gets naked and then she's all bashful and shy. It's like a normal thing.
It's not Rangeku.
Right. It's a totally normal thing because she is not ashamed of it. So it's almost like they're not going out of their way to make it look like, you know, they're not trying to make little boys, you know, interested in that way, if you know what I
development.
Mean. Right. It's not really fan service, in my opinion. I think that she's just one of the guys, and she just, you know, she's a female, and she doesn't care. Yeah, I like characters like that, like Mary, how do you say her name in
Black Clover?
Black Clover, Mary Oleola.
Yeah,
she's also the same way. She's a female. But she's such a badass. Yeah. You don't really see her as a female. No. She is top. She is the number one.
She's terrifying.
She is. But I mean, they don't sexualize her. No. And there's even a scene where she's in a bathhouse with the royal chick, the girl, Asta, the one that likes Asta.
And
she's naked, but they don't sexualize it. And I like when anime does that.
Yeah.
Because it's not everything should be sexualized.
Black Clover is not really one to sexualize characters anyway.
No.
which is, I mean, is great, obviously.
Yeah.
But
like Konosuba or
Konosuba. Okay, Konosuba did it, but they did it in a way that I found tasteful. They did it for like a humor purpose, which made it okay to me, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I don't. Did you watch the Konosuba movie?
No. I've only seen a couple episodes, and I just fell off because it wasn't super interesting to me. But I will say, I know, what is that character? The really strong chick with the bandage on her leg.
Oh my god, I'm drawing a blank.
She's got the eye patch.
Yeah.
Hold on, I can look her up real quick.
Darkness.
Yeah. So what's really funny about her is, she is literally more popular than her entire the entire show. Yeah. Like, if you go to the Reddit subpage, she has more hits than every single character and the entire universe that she's in. So she is literally the Konosuba show, even though she's just a side character.
Yeah. You know, she's easily the most sexually advertised character in the show.
And I think that's the reason why, which is another reason why I fell off of it, because I don't know. I'm really weird about that
stuff. Me too.
If I feel, if I'm in a situation where I'm watching something and I don't want, like if it's on my screen and I'm worried about somebody coming up behind me and seeing it, I don't want, that's the uncomfortable feeling I get from this show sometimes.
That's how I am a sexualized character, but I did not get that feeling from this show because it was in a comedic purpose. So it was meant
maybe
to
I should have kept going with it, but I gave up too early. And it was a long time ago when I watched it. I mean, I'm a little bit older now and I don't care like I used to. So I might give it another try.
Yeah, I really liked it. Well, I guess because what I'm about to say goes into our closing segment. Anime that we've watched between episodes. I actually, before we talk, I said I didn't watch very much anime. I watched a little bit of Seven Deadly Sins. I was just kind of taking it easy. But I did watch... I watched the Konosuba movie. And it was fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I would... Like, the... I'm just gonna say the villain... The evil captain lady... When she had the main character between her breasts.
Oh, yes.
And then she said that thing. Bro, I was fucking done. I was cracking up. And I'll tell you about it afterwards, Brandon, so I don't spoil it. Okay. But I was fucking cracking up. But I watched that, and then I also watched the Goblin Slayer movie, which I was kind of disappointed in. Nothing really happened in it. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just kind of like a continuation of the show. It was basically just them going and raiding another castle, basically, full of goblins. And they didn't even really, like, go in and fight a bunch of shit. They just went in and ran. And fought shit as they were running. It was really the only thing that happened. So I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah, I wanted a little bit more from that movie. I'm kind of on the same page with you. But no, the Konosuba movie, that scene right there, I literally had to pause it. I was laughing so hard I couldn't focus.
It was hilarious. So I've been watching a little bit more Seven Deadly Sins. I'm still not done with it. I've been on vacation, so I've kind of just been wanting to like chill and not really focus on anything too much. I've played a shitload of video games. I've been kind of working in my basement, kind of turning my TV area into like a kind of a theater area. So I've been watching a lot of movies down here. And I've been reading some manga, kind of relaxing, reading some manga. I read 2 volumes of Tokyo Ghoul, 2 volumes of Demon Slayer. I finally got around to starting Demon Slayer. And I read the newest issue of My Hero Academia. So I've kind of been taking it pretty slow. So I've not been doing too much. What about you guys? What have you been watching?
You go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I've been a kind of slow week for anime for me too. I've been pretty busy, but I caught up with The Misfit of Demon King Academy, which I didn't think I would like as much as I do. I don't know why I do, because there isn't really a lot that's necessarily like shining for it, but it's just good enough to keep my attention.
The artwork looks pretty clean in that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm really interested to see how it goes forward. I don't really know how to explain it. I wish I could explain it a little bit better, but there's something about it that just keeps me interested. I tried to watch The God of High School, which I think I started it just a little too late because I got about three quarters through the first episode, which was interesting, and then I just passed out. And I watched, and every week I'm keeping up with the Alicization episodes. And like we were talking about before we started this, it had doled out for me quite a bit in the last few weeks. But this new episode that came out, episode 21, called Beyond Time. Now that one was good. That one was solid. That was a really good episode.
Is that the one that just dropped today, or was that last week?
Yes, that's the one that just dropped
today.
Okay, I have not seen that yet. I actually haven't watched anything for today, which I need to do.
Yeah, if you've been keeping up weekly, I give it a watch as soon as possible.
Because when it took the hiatus between part one and part two, I stopped watching it, and I had never started part two yet. So that's on my list of shows to watch. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, the middle of the War of the Underworld piece was where it started to dull out for me because I felt like there really wasn't any momentum.
I left off right about where Asuna was about to go into the game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it kind of dulled me out. Yeah. So
the last few episodes have definitely been action packed.
Yeah, it's been on the up, and this one, like, it's got a little bit of the feels in it. I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's Sword Art Online, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Sword Art Online is very cliche, but they do have their moments.
But it has the action piece and like normal in this episode, but it also like works in the emotional piece that I was enjoying from the first half of season one, aka Aincrad. More so even the first half of Aincrad. Which was nice. I mean, it wasn't anything close to the same, but it had that same kind of nostalgic feel, and I was like, this is nice. This is good. I like this.
Okay. I might move that up and make that the next show I watch, or catch up on, I guess I should say. What have you been watching, Brandon?
Other than just keeping up with the mainstream stuff, I did delve off a little bit. So I watched the latest Gintama movie, which is fantastic. I know I mentioned it in the Discord before, but for anybody that hasn't ever been able to really get into the show, it's very good. It's funny. It's probably one of the funniest shows I've ever seen, and the movie encompasses the feeling of the show like no other. I would rate this show, if I'm basing it off of the anime itself and how it delivers, I think that the story-wise and the feeling that you get is the best anime movie to date. Now I'm comparing that to more recent stuff. You know, obviously I'm not going to compare something like that to some giant like Spirited Away. But in the last decade of anime movies to come out, if I'm not talking about the action, I think that the Gintama movie was the most heartwarming movie. It was super funny all the way through. I mean, the first 10 minutes is literally Gintama talking to this, or Gintoki talking to this creature, which they're in Japan, they're having a huge issue with piracy, right?
Yes.
So there's a piracy alert at the very beginning of the movie, and then Gintama just takes it and swings with it, and the first 10 minutes is him talking to this camera thing about why it's bad, and then the movie just like starts abruptly, and from then on it's just like a roller coaster of funny, holy crap, nostalgia, funny, sad, funny, super action packed. It's really good. I think they did a good job, and they mentioned, actually, you're the one that told me about it, how they are developing the third movie, which I am extremely excited about. I also did watch Rising Heroes in lieu of you telling me. I wanted to see it. I just never really took the time to do it because I'm not really a sit down and watch a movie kind of guy, but I knew I needed to.
Oh, the super awesome movie. Okay.
Yes. Okay. The second My Hero movie.
Yes.
I had seen a trailer.
The end fight was...
I mean, it's circle fingers with the I mean, it was good.
Without spoiling too much, what was your reaction to Bakugo taking out the guy with the bandages?
Oh, I was just like, dude, I didn't even see that coming.
Dude, they were like, all struggling, and he just shows up and mopped the floor with that guy. I was like, fuck!
I thought this guy, you know, they're all pretty strong, yeah. And this bandit dude has such a weird ability, and everybody's getting beaten, then Bakugo shows up, and it's over. And it was just like, yeah. Okay,
dude,
okay.
In my honest opinion, he was probably the star of that movie, Bakugo was.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was, yeah. And he was, and you can tell that in the end because of what happened.
Yes.
And I'm not going to spoil anything, but I did not see that coming at all. Now, I like how they spun it back around,
yeah.
And how it ended, because...
Yeah, canceled, yeah.
Yeah.
In the moments leading up to it, I was like, holy shit, is this about to happen? Like, yeah. I was starting to, like, register what was going on, but yeah. Oof, it was good.
My Hero is very visually appealing to watch. Yes. The studio does so good. I don't think it has the strongest story, but it's very interesting, and there is tons of character development.
Absolutely.
And I don't know. I'm kind of spoiled because One Piece is so good story-wise. Yeah. And I hate it, but I compare it to everything else, which is a really bad habit because it does ruin some things. But I try to separate that, and I think My Hero is a solid anime. And I think the numbers speak that, too, because it is very successful. It does very well.
Yeah.
I mean, the manga itself did good, and I think the anime is doing even better, and it's super popular in the West. I mean, they did a simulcast for a while where the English episode was coming out at the same time as the Japanese episode. I mean, they had this stuff already. It's so popular that English was right there.
Cast, yeah.
Yeah, it was quick. And there's some famous people who I don't think they're all very good, but there's some very big name English actors involved in My Hero.
Christopher Sabat, just off the top of my head.
Yeah,
voices All Might.
He does, and he is a big deal. I don't think that he is the best voice actor, but he is. I mean, when he gets involved in something, it's usually a pretty big project. Yeah,
absolutely.
He's one of the most well-known English voice actors in the game. I mean, the only people that I can think of that would be more popular is the voice actor for Spike Spiegel in Cowboy Bebop, who has literally done like over 200 different pieces between shows and games and whatnot, and I cannot think of his name right now because I haven't seen it in a long time. And Goku's voice actor, that's another one, who
Sean
is
Chimel, and then
Sean Chimel.
Steve Blum is the other.
Steve Blum, that's right. Steve Blum is super popular and renowned. Yeah. He's just done so much work.
Yeah, he did Mugen and Samurai Champloo.
Yep. It's funny, him and the voice actor for Zoro actually have a lot of voice acting pieces in common where they do the same work on the same shows. It just works out that way a lot. I don't know. Their voices aren't even super similar. Like, I think that the Naruto English dub and sub, I think their voice actors sound a lot alike, and they try to do that. But I don't know. He's just got that voice where he plays the cool hard character really well. I mean, Spike is the epitome of cool if you've ever seen Cowboy Bebop. yeah. It doesn't really follow a story. It's more of like Seinfeld, where there isn't really a story. It's just kind of like adventures here and there.
Yeah.
The story really starts a little bit on episode one, and then all of this stuff randomly happens, and then bang, which is one of the most famous lines in anime ever. It's the ending, and I won't spoil it, but I needed to digress here a little bit because I'm getting off track. Sorry.
I was about to rein you in a little.
Yeah. Thank you. Take the reins. other than that, I've just been keeping up with everything. I read ahead. I'm pretty deep into Seven Deadly Sins, which I'm a bit of a stickler for because I do not like this new season. I think that the story was good. It got a little bland because it was doing so much storytelling, but the studio that did this new season, right? Time Crunch. They were so focused on other things that they had to outsource a lot of their work to another studio, right? And this studio, while I'm talking, try to look it up because I cannot remember. Studio who worked on... I believe it was Studio Dean. Okay, so Studio Dean is the one that adapted the anime, right? And their first two seasons were phenomenal. Say season two was a little rushed, but the animation was always top tier. They were really good. So when the season three came around, which is actually our season four, it just looked bad. And they outsourced to a Korean studio. And that Korean studio was literally only known for doing like backgrounds. They do backgrounds for anime on a per episode basis. They might help with a scene here or there, but Studio Dean was so far behind that this other very small, unsuccessful studio did like over half of the series. So there's a lot of choppy, low frame fights, yeah. animations and stuff. The animation itself does not look bad, but the movement is just unappealing to me. I hated it because it was so much, and it was so, the bar was set so low compared to the other two seasons. And I just hope that Studio Dean is able to focus on this more now because they're not so backed up.
So I'm halfway through this season right now, and I haven't seen any bad animation, which of course it's on Netflix now, so they probably cleaned up a good bit of it.
They did fix it a little
but
bit.
You have mentioned this scene of Meliodas sitting on a bed.
Yes, dude.
And when I was trying to look up the studio now, that image popped up, and oh my god.
It's so bad. And there's a couple different scenes. There's a scene, it's a meme, where it shows Escanor, and his eyes and face are just so round and weird looking, and it's got Shrek right next to him, and they look so much, it's just a meme. Huh. And there's a lot of scenes where they did that, where it was rushed production done by a low-tier studio, and it ruined it for me. When I saw that scene of Meliodas laying on the bed, I was just like, bro, what is that?
All right.
Yeah, well, yeah,
just to kind of get things going, because we've kind of went down a wormhole here. Thank you guys again for listening. We're going to go ahead and close this out. Thank you again so much for listening. Please go follow my Facebook page. Keep listening. The big thing that I want to stress to you guys, I know sharing stuff on Facebook or social media or whatever is kind of a hassle, but it would seriously be so awesome if all of you guys, while you're listening to this, just hit the share button, throw us on Facebook, whatever social media platform, Twitter, whatever, Instagram. I'm old, so I don't have all of those, but it would be so awesome if you guys just help spread the love a little bit. Again, you know, if you have any questions, suggestions, email me animechateau@gmail.com, animechateau on Facebook, shoot me a message on there. But yeah, stay tuned, guys. I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I really hope you guys enjoy the next episode I have planned, the My Hero Academia fan theories. I've got three pretty good ones. I might mention a couple minor ones that I think are kind of silly, but I'm really excited for the next episode. Thanks again, and have a good one.